Welcome to Turbo Drive Live, only on Sega Sonic Radio, the number one source for Sonic music.
Hey guys, and welcome to Turbo Drive Live, episode 66. Yes, it's 66 today, and wow, a lot's happened this week, just with me. Get over and done with. And so basically, my computer almost died on me this week, being that there's like a little panel on the front of the keyboard, like on the laptop, and it covers like the speakers and the power button. Apparently, that, you know, kind of like got removed in some way. So I was like freaking out, man. I was freaking out, and it was like, oh my god, 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 it's broken, I've lost all my hard drive, oh my god. But apparently, no, I was able to fix it with enough force and a hammer and a lot of profanity and whatnot afterwards. But no, my computer's fine now, it's fine. Yes, it's fine. Anyway, besides that, what was it? What else? There was like other stuff that happened to me. Oh yeah, I got a brand new T-shirt through the mail from screwattack.com. Haha, you know what I'm talking about, screwattack.com. And it's the rated F for fuckballs t-shirt of the angry video game nerds design. So that's cool, you know, I got that. And you know, I haven't worn it yet, but you know, that's cool. I got myself a copy of the Family Guy episode called Blue Harvest, which is awesome. It's very awesome. I got the special edition one, so I got a t-shirt out of it. So, and the t-shirt is beautiful. It's fantastic. I'm actually wearing it right now, which is pretty cool. It's very snug for a large. What else happened to me this week? I don't know. I can't remember what else has happened to me, but hey, a lot's happened, and I can't remember everything as of yet, but I'll probably remember it later on in the show. Right, enough about me. Let's go into the show. As usual, we've got Sonic News Rewind coming up, which not much Sonic News has actually been floating around as such. It's just, you know, there's only one article in it, so who cares. For Turbo's first impressions. Now, Turbo's first impressions, it's not actually going to be first impressions now, because of one of the two games that I bought last week. It's not it's not my first impressions of it. It's got to be my full-on attention to this game, because I've played this game to death and I've actually completed it this week, which is kind of sad, being that I only bought it. It basically took me the same amount of time as completing, you know, Tomb Raider Anniversary. Yeah, I completed that in a week and gotten all the 1,000 points for it, which was sad, I know, but you know. It's a Turbo's full-on impression. Yeah. But anyway, so we got that coming up. Then, of course, after all that crap, we've got your requests. And, we got your requests. So if you've got any requests, send them to me now, so that way I'll know what to play when I get to that point. Because everyone seems to leave it at the very, very last minute, and it just really, really pisses me off. So, you know, being there looking for it while you're listening to silence, or just me rambling on. So send them in now, so that way I know what you know people want while I'm doing other stuff, like when a music track's being played to interlude into the next segment. You know? Something like that would happen? Eh? Not many people like that. Anyway, so if you want any requests, preferably Sonic music, but I do have other soundtracks, including the Guitar Hero 3 list of songs that are on that game. I've also recently got the Orange Box soundtrack as well, mainly, you know, the Portal music and Team Fortress and, you know, what was it, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, I think. As well, I've got those, and I've also got various other soundtracks, including Halo 3 soundtrack, Halo 2 soundtrack, Halo 1 soundtrack, various other things as well, and blah 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 blah. So yeah, right. So yeah, if you want to request anything. My email address is turbo@tfmx.co.uk. You know, there you go. And if you want to send it to me through IM messages, through MSN, Windows Live Messenger, or Skype, or whatever. You know, if you've got my account, if you got my name, that's fine. Go ahead, send them to me there. If you want to send them in the good old IRC chat room, which I'm in right now as well, then you can send them through there through a private message. And and we've got in the room today, we've got Joshua, Chris, Alison K, Violet, Backtrack, Casper, the friendly ghost, the friendly you ghost, you know, who can't scare shit off tall. D'Artagnan, Falk, Forever Sonic, Gerbilsoft, Golden Wonder, named after the crisp, I wonder what flavor he is, Hawks, JJF, Kaz, Kogan, Logo, Kaz, Miles Prower, MK, Neo Metal Sonic, Neswatch, Riala, Regal, Resident SD, Ritz, Rolkin, Cybad Guy, Strong Bad, and myself. Hello, myself. Good, people are putting in requests before I even get to the request sections, which is good. Keep it up, you know. Keep them coming in. So yeah. Although I'm not the only person who's actually made that joke. I mean, Rory did that joke earlier on in the week. I know that. So yeah. So yeah, coolios. Right, okay then. Now, if you haven't noticed, the True Blue, what was it? Sonic compilation album was released in Japan earlier this week, and basically on there's a couple of exclusive tracks that have never been released ever at all. So I'm gonna be, for the first time on Sega Sonic Radio, I'll be playing those exclusive tracks that are on the CD and play them in full for you. For the show. So, without further ado, I'm going to play you one of the tracks from there. It is Crush4E doing their version of the 2007 games, 2007 song Seven Rings in Hand, which was in the 2007 game Sonic and the Secret Rings, and this is their version. Now, my personal opinion to this version of their song, it's actually pretty good. Other people say it was absolutely naff, it was terrible, Crush4E shouldn't be doing songs like that, but no, it actually works. to a certain degree. Once you've listened to it a few times, you'll learn to love it. So, exclusively on Sega Sonic Radio, exclusively on Turbo Drive Live, here is Crush 40 with their version of Seven Rings in Hand. And after that, we've got Sonic News Rewind, so enjoy the song and see you on the other side. Only on Sega Sonic Radio! Yeah!
Who speed a path out of time instead. Rewind.
And we're back, and apparently a lot of people were having negative, reaction to that song. I actually thought it was pretty good, actually. It was totally different pace to what I, compared to Rumblebee's version. And, it was better, I think, in my personal opinion. It was like, it kind of reminded me of the Foo Fighters, It was kind of like that shouting kind of like atmosphere to it, which I actually like. So, that's just my personal opinion, but anyway. Right, it's time for Sonic News Rewind. A lot of people are listening in, so that's bloody good. I mean, fuck's sake. It's like we had about like three people tuning in, I think. Current listener count is 29. 29 people are listening in just now, so. Yeah. Yeah, I know, Casper. It's like, it's nothing like the Foo Fighters, but it's like, it's got that atmosphere. it's like, they kind of got like, the kind of like atmosphere they have is the energy that they have. It's just hard hitting energy. I mean, Adam would totally agree with me. It's like, they have this kind of like energy that's, is totally good, and Jun Sunon on that guitar, it's just amazing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. It's like, so anyway. And so I think that song was actually good, And of course their version of His World was also good as well. So, it's my personal opinion. It's my personal opinion. You don't have to take it. You can say it sucks and whatnot, but hey, that's just my opinion. If you think I suck because I like Crush 40's, versions of most of Rumblebee's and Zebrahead's work, then go ahead, But overall, I think I'm right in saying that their versions is okay. Simple as. So I'm going to continue on my normal-esque thing, and I've lost a few people. Ha ha! 22, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I've lost two people. Yeah, I've lost two people. No. Anyway, doesn't matter. Who knows? I'm over 20. That's fine. That's usually my normal. Right. Okay. Okay, Sonic News. Not much has been going on. Not much has happened. Basically, there's only one article on Sonic News this week, being that more Sega games are coming onto the Wii Virtual Console, being that in the form of Master System games. Yes, the old 8-bit console that didn't last too long was out. It's now a fact that, the Master System games are getting released over in the Japanese version of the Virtual Console, which is fine enough, but where's our version? Come on. And also, it doesn't end there. In Japan, they're also going to get Game Gear games and Sega Mark III titles. Sega Mark III. We didn't get a Sega Mark III. To my recollection, we didn't get a Sega Mark III. I think the only other place other than Japan that got a Sega Mark III was South America, I think. They got a Sega Mark III. I'm not sure, but I don't think I've never seen in my entire life a Mark III Sega. It's just one of those systems that I would love to actually see being played at one point. So yeah, but nevertheless, the Master System games, Game Gear games, and also those Sega Mark III games are going to be appearing on the Virtual Console in Japan. There's no information of any of the Master System games coming over here in the UK. All of this is going to be those a few games are gonna be well, a couple of games are gonna be released from the Master System series coming next month. So a lot of people will be like, you know, getting that, and you know, that's pretty cool. Right. Okay. Right. Do 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 do. Little do diddle do. Right. So yeah, that's pretty much it in terms of like Sonic news. It's just Sega news, really. So yeah, if you want to see it for yourself, go on to Sonic News, which is www.sonicstadium.org/SonicNews. You can just see all the latest ones that are there, including, of course, the True Blue album track list that was there. Also, various other things, including, you know, the Sega Superstars info that's up recently, which was last week's news, and also, you know, Night's Journey of Dreams being released at that last week as well. So yeah. So yep. It's all cool. It's all coolio. It's very coolio. So yeah. Right. Okay. Right. Now what's people talking about? Well, apparently ever since I played that, you know, version of Crush 40's version of Seven Rings in Hand, everyone's going nuts over about what songs they actually like and whatnot, and you know, it's just getting over, you know, just getting too much, still too much. So anyway, right. Yeah. Apparently Violet going into the hole is like singing the lyrics, so yeah, very good. Right. So yeah. Not much to say. Well, I can talk about other stuff that's happened to me this week. Getting a lot of idiotic people in, you know, getting a lot of idiotic people in my generic game shop. Apparently, it's like earlier today, a guy came to the store, tried to return a game. He had the receipt and everything like that. The receipt was dated back in November of last year. November of last year. Well, do these people ever read the receipt at all? I mean, come on. It's just getting too ridiculous now. I mean, it's like, we have a returns policy of, well, back then there was like a Christmas returns policy where you could take it back, if it wasn't opened, you could take it back with before the 8th of January. It's now the 26th of January now. About 2 weeks and 5 days ago. And, you know, I can't fathom to believe that a lot of people do not read on the receipt. I mean, it was bought in November anyway, so I thought, you know, it's like, why would he be an idiot? It's, you know, and a lot of people, it's like, back in, when we were doing these Christmas returns, a lot of the people working there were so bloody lenient that they actually returned the game without the receipt. And I'm getting, like, you know, totally pissed off at this, because, you know, it's eventually got kicked, you know, come back and bite us on the ass, and we're gonna get blamed for all these unauthorized returns, because they're not authorized unless it has a proof of purchase, so we can actually, you know, take a note of original till number and actually know what it's all under. or even have the actual receipt there. So it proves that it was bought from our store or bought from a game store, and, you know, it's all returned and it's all legit. Eventually, we're going to get, you know, a lot of, you know, backlash to all these unauthorized returns. So I finally got to the point where it's like, right, okay, I need to teach these guys, and this is mainly the newer guys, because apparently some of the new guys who've just started an official contract with us still don't know the procedures of returns. Basically, it was like on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember, but I was absolutely pissed off at this kid. I think he's a kid. I don't know if he's older than me or younger than me. I don't know. But he's inexperienced. He's inexperienced in the ways things run around here. So I was like, and he was like talking to the person, and he said, "Oh, I'll do an exchange for you." He's like, "Guy brings back two games. They're sealed in factory sealing and you know, factory packaging." And he goes on and it's like, you know. He says, and goes, "Oh, I want to exchange these games for something else." And you know, the inexperienced, you know, guy just goes, okay, we'll do that." And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's like, why did he do that? It's not company policy. It's company policy to actually get a proof of purchase now. It's vital. You know, it's vital if you want to keep your job, for fuck's sake. I mean, you have to follow the guidelines of what you've been given, you know, to work under. I mean, we can't just, you know, totally bend the girder every single time a person comes in with a sealed copy of a game, even with our game seal. You know, it doesn't matter if it has our actual seal on it. It has to have a proof of purchase. It's part of the receipt. It says written on the thing. In fact, I can actually get a copy of my one of my receipts that I've that I keep, you know, for my own records, and you know, say to you what it actually says underneath it, because, you know, you people would be, you know, enlightened to know these things. I mean, you know, just to prove a point, really. You know, because we've got a lot of people in this, you know, world who never understand anything at all. It's absolutely ridiculous now. Should have a copy of the... Ah, here we go. Here's one. Alright. It says here, on the back, on the bottom of every game receipt that, game receipt, aye, generic game receipt, here, right here, and, it says, game offers an exchange or refund for items returned within 28 days of purchase. Items must be in a unopened supplier or game sealed packaging with a valid proof of purchase. This is in addition to your statutory rights. So basically, it needs to be still sealed in its, you know, original, you know, packaging, and it has to come with a valid proof of purchase. Going to a store and saying, "Oh, I bought this from your store," isn't a proof. It doesn't prove that anything. Unless it's written or carved in stone. If you, like, literally took a boulder with you and carved it, and you had someone to carve out, you know, all the details that happened when you bought that game, yeah, that maybe that might be a proof of purchase to you, but it isn't for us. A proof of purchase is the receipt that you got when you bought that item. And not many people take care of the receipts half of the time. I mean, me and myself, yeah, I admit, you know, get rid of my receipts and I forget about them and whatnot. I mean, just recently, I just had to, you know, exchange my wireless Xbox 360 guitar for Guitar Hero 3, because apparently there was actually a fault for that. In one of my Turbo Zone YouTube videos, I actually said that it it doesn't work with Guitar Hero 2. Apparently I was incorrect. Apparently that was like a completely different error whatsoever. Apparently it's the guitar itself. Apparently when you hold the red and yellow button, fret buttons, and strum the bar, it actually activates the green, and then you can select anything while doing that. You can, like, you know, go into menus, you can go into, any menu whatsoever on any game. It happens to any game, so it's really the guitar's fault. So recently I just, you know, exchanged that, and now I've got a guitar that if you hold it at a slight, even at the slightest angle, and you've got a full star power meter, it activates. You know, even at the slightest angle, even the slightest nudge, which is kind of fucked up, so. But, no, that's a decent, I mean, it's not a vital problem in the guitar. All I have to do is just keep the guitar at a straight 90 degree angle. As long as I don't tilt it too far up. Even if it's like about 5 or 7 degrees out from that 90 degree angle, like upward, then it'll activate. You know, so. But anyway, a lot of people saying I'm a very angry person. I'm a very, okay, maybe I'm like an angry person. In fact, I probably class myself as an angry video game nerd clone as such. You know, being that I kind of have like the same frustration and anger as James Rolfe's character as well. So if you want to say that, yeah, I'm an angry video game nerd clone. In fact, if you actually put me in a white shirt and have a pocket pouch and everything like that, I probably might actually pull off a very good angry video game nerd impression if I had the time and all that. But hey, you know, that's fine. Right. So anyway. But yeah, that's just one thing that really pisses me off, is people who come to our stores and try to get, you know, return stuff without anything, any proof, without proving that they actually bought it from us. And some people in the store just being lenient and just like saying, okay, we can bend the bar, but if you bend it too far, it's gonna break and we're gonna fall and we're gonna take the blame. You know, so I'm gonna move on from that. Let's see, the listener count, of course, obviously it probably went down after I started ranting about, people returning goods. Yeah, it did, it's gone to 26. Yeah, so, 26 people are listening in, to Turbo Drive Live, only on Sega Sonic Radio, and that's what's going on right now. Okay, I'm gonna go into another music track. Again, this is gonna be from the new True Blue album that was released. Now this is another song that has mixed reactions. A lot of people hated this version of the song. Now, a lot of people were kind of like, you know, expecting the Crush 4E versus Remix Factory mix that was teased, you know, earlier on of 2006. Believe it or not, and it kind of like disappeared off the face of the planet. And now there's a completely different remix that was done for this album, and it's performed by Bentley Jones, and you know, he did a remix for the Crush 40 versus Bentley Jones remix for this. So you know, this is absolutely completely different, and we're just going to go into this. So this is Crush 4E and Bentley Jones with the Crush 4E versus Bentley Jones remix off Open Your Heart. I hope you enjoy this. I actually enjoyed this because this has got like a very kind of like, you know, hammer-on beat to it. You can say this song you know, when I first heard this, it was like, you know, it felt like I wanted to stomp my feet and, you know, punch the air. You know, like, you know, it was like a kind of like punching air moment. It was just very good. So I hope you enjoy this. Not many people will like this, because a lot of people are criticizing Crush 4E now, and also any remixes with Crush 4E as the band and whatnot. So yeah, anyway. Here is the Crush 4E and Bentley Jones remix of Open Your Heart. Enjoy the song, and right after we've got Turbo's First Impressions, or Turbo's Full Impression, on the game, one of the games that I bought last week, so stay tuned if you don't know what it is. Of course, lots of you know. Oh, everyone knows what it is, of course, because, you know, you're mind readers. The lot of you are inside my mind, and you're opening the door, and you're looking at it, and you're looking in amazement and awe, but you don't know what's going to be my impressions of it, yes. But you will know soon. Okay, enjoy the song, and I'll see you on the other side. This is Turbo for Turbo Drive Live, only on Sega Sonic Radio. I got something new. Not until we're through. Yeah.
XJS makes the BJ style close behind. We be coming through the town at the speed of sound. Breaking down all barriers and stepping on some new ground. It's what we know, it's what we do, Kanye Z. So open up your heart, cause we'll set you free.
There we go, it's time for Turbo's First Impressions, but before we go into that, a lot of positive feedback was coming into this, that song, and, it was like, wow, a lot of the kind of like new age Sonic fans were liking it, a lot of the old age Sonic fans liked it. And a hell of a lot of old age Sonic fans totally despised it. maybe some of the new age Sonic fans as well, including Violet. Violet doesn't like any Sonic music whatsoever. I personally think it's good. I think it's cool. A lot of people like it. Sonny liked it. Obviously, one of my number one fans of all time, and various other things as well. And it's like very, lots of people were liking it. Backtrack liked it. It's like Neo Metal Sonic liked it as well. So that was a lot. I think. So, yeah. I don't know if Golden Wonder actually liked that either. I don't know. He said his ears broke at the very end of it. So, yeah. Okay. Okay, apparently Anti-Porcupine says, Turbo, just say you don't like the music. No, I do like the music, thank you very much. It's Violet who doesn't like the music. Or doesn't like the music being played on my show, anyway. That's why she doesn't tune in. She doesn't like my music. She's only tuning in because Resident SD's there, and she loves Resident SD. She cuddles up to Resident SD like a little cuddly bear, so anyway, and this is me going on about this is the same Turbo who actually gave Violet two games out of my own pocket, and I hardly didn't even know her that much, and I was so nice to her that I gave her two games, and I know where those two games are. They're probably in a game or a game station somewhere in their area. I think, anyway. Also another thing that was going around. what was it? What was it? Oh yeah, Sonny was talking about, did you hear about this four kids rumor? No, I do not know of the, any four kids rumor as of yet. If you would like to enlighten me, go ahead. It's like... oh dear. It's like, what is it? Violet saying she does have an unwrapped version, unwrapped copy of The Golden Compass on the Wii. now that's going to Game Station and being traded. That is a good point, because Golden Compass is as confusing as a twenty sided cube. or some weird puzzle, because that's what it is. It's a weird ass puzzle. You don't know how to do it. Sonny was saying it's like there's a rumor going around that 4Kids contract is up. That rumor was about like 3 years old. Because many people were thinking, apparently 4Kids contract is up for again. So yeah, a lot of things. Yeah, whatever. So anyway, so as far as the 4Kids thing is, I think I've heard that rumor before. It's pretty shit, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, moving on. Time for Turbo's final impressions, or Turbo's first impressions, whatever you want to say. So yeah. Anyway. Oh, Sonny's saying that Eggman sounds different in the Sega Superstars trailer. That may be Mike Pollock trying to, you know, change his voice a bit. You never know. Who knows? We'll only find out later on. One quick question from Thrungus. Why didn't Turbo get Burnout the best ever Paradise? I saw the review. Yes, it looks good. But the only reason why I'm not buying it is that it doesn't have the traffic attack system. And I've seen the review. I've seen a scene that... when you crash into the back of an same-way traffic car, you wreck your car. And that's what I hate about Paradise. It's that they took out that system, and, it doesn't have a sort-off system. It's that it doesn't have it in the story there. Yeah. So it doesn't matter, you know. Well, if it's, I'm not going to buy a game that has a sort-off system to it. It's like, sort-offs is pathetic. But anyway, let's just get on with Turbo's first impressions and get this over and done with, okay? Right. It's like, the only burnout I can actually, you know, like is Burnout Revenge. That's the only Burnout game I will ever like. The fourth in the series. Oh, and I don't know if Resident SD actually... I actually listened to TFMX.co.uk's XG Fire, where Resident SD was announcing... what was it? Resident SD talking about Burnout Paradise on XG Fire. He said it was the... the sixth game in the series. That's actually incorrect. It's actually the seventh game in the series. If you count it, let me go with you. Burnout 1, Burnout 2, Burnout 3, Takedown, Burnout Revenge, Burnout Legends on the DS... Burnout Dominator, and now Burnout Paradise. There's seven. There's seven Burnout games. Legends, yes, it's more of a compilation of the past, what was it, number three and two, but... Resident. It's like, you know, Legends and Dominator are still part of the series. It's still under the Burnout franchise. So technically, you know, Paradise is, you know, the seventh game in the series. In my opinion, I think so. Because if you count, it's like if you count any of the other Sonic games, it'll be the same for the Sonic games. You know, it's like for example, it's like Sonic and the Secret Rings. It's like, you know, the umpteenth Sonic game. I can't remember all of them, but you know, basically, it's the seventh. Burnout Paradise is the seventh game. The seventh. People may say it's nitpicking, but I have to be precise in these kind of things. You know, it's like saying, you know, Resident Evil 4 is actually the fourth in the series, which is incorrect. You know. Oh yeah, apparently. But still, you know, say you can't. Yeah, but you know. It's the same, like I said with Resident Evil. When Resident Evil, it's like they said Resident Evil 4 was the fourth in the series. No, it wasn't. Resident Evil Code Veronica was the fourth in the series, you dumb shits. You know. So don't give me this shit. I mean, it's like, don't say it's like, you know, it's the fifth game in the series. In fact, it wasn't even, you know, it was called Burnout 5, but then they changed it to Burnout Paradise. So, obviously, they've fucked up with that series anyway. It's getting annoying. And in fact, yes, Anti-Porcupine's got a point. Sonic 3 was actually the fifth in the primary series. That's true, because Sonic CD was released before that. So. Or whatever. It doesn't matter. Never mind, let's get on with it. On to an actual proper sequel of a gaming franchise that's been 11 years in the kind of like making as such. You just laugh it up, Casper. You ghost who's friendly. Nah. But anyway, I do a lot of raspberries. For this game has been on the Wii. It's a sequel to a game that's been that was released 11 years ago, roughly 11 years ago, or even 12 maybe, and has been under the a lot of criticism and plain old. Normal gaming banter. I'm talking about the legendary series known as Knights, a cult classic to many, and this is my first time playing the series, and I start off with the sequel, Knights Journey of Dreams for the Wii. Now, my impressions on Knights Journey of Dreams, it's a decent game. It's a decent game. I haven't played the first one. I've never played the original. I have, however, played its mini-game equivalent on Sega Superstars, which was on the PlayStation 2 with the iToy. Now, I've played that. I actually liked it. Although my arms were pretty tired after a while of playing. basically, with Knight's Journey of Dreams... I do actually like Knight's Journey of Dreams. I like the format. However, this is the only problem. It's too short. It was too short. I completed it in a week. It's like the ranking system, yeah, it's, you know, E to A ranking system. it was basically, you know, it's like, yeah, you can barely get past, it's like, first time run through, once you're getting used to the controls, which in turn I actually used the Wii controls to start off with. And then a lot of people were saying, oh, try the GameCube controller, and I actually tried the GameCube controller. In fact, funnily enough, I actually have a Wavebird. Ah, you never find any of these. You know, a Wavebird. Yeah, GameCube's equivalent to the wireless controller, which actually was pretty nice. The only problem was, it didn't have any rumble in it, which was a shame. But anyway, nevertheless, the Wavebird was revolutionary in wireless technology. But anyway, yeah, but, you know, it's like, the original, yeah, the, what was it, Golden Wonder saying that the original Knights was stupidly short. I would guess so. So that's probably why I wouldn't actually like the original Knights, because that was just absolutely short. But, you know, this Knights, you know, Knights Journey of Dreams was just too short for me. I mean, it's like, you know, it didn't have massive replay value as such. And so once you got the A ranks, blah, 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 that's it. Yeah. Got the A ranks, fine, that's it. You know, there's no point of going after the dream drops, which is kind of like the secret things, like secret little items that you have to find. I mean, I'm actually going to put in a lot of spoilers in this review, so if you don't want to listen to any of the spoilers that I'm giving to you, you know, turn down your volume or, you know, tune off for about like 10, 15 minutes. Basically, with Knight's Journey of Dreams, the other thing I hated about this game is the voice acting in the game. The voice acting was just not really good. In fact, it's like, many people were saying, oh, they totally ruined Knights, the character, you know, by giving him or it a voice. Because I can't tell, in fact. I can't tell whether it's a him or a her. It's like, it's so mixed. I'm calling Knights an it. It's like, I'm calling it an it. That's all I'm saying. Knights, well, people say it's a he, but I think it's a she. It's like the kind of like way Knights is. And even though Knights is referred to as him, as he or whatever, you know, I still think it's an it. So yeah, it's totally weird. It's absolutely weird. It's mind-blowing weird. But anyway, that was one problem I hated about Knights, is that he has no gender as such, so he had an odd voice, which is just, you know, weird. A lot of people were actually annoyed about the old owl, his voice. I actually liked his voice. It was actually okay. I mean, you're not constantly hearing it 24/7. You do hear, like, you know, him in the cutscenes, which is fine. But you don't hear him constantly through the game. Like, when you go near him, he only says, like, one word all the time. When you're actually in a level, or you're actually talking to him outside of a cutscene. It's fine. You know, it wasn't that painful to listen to him. You know, but anyway, the only problem I had with the voice acting was the two kids, was Will and Helen. Those two characters sounded so stupid. It's like they didn't even go to school at all. It's like they didn't go to English class, for Christ's sake. God's sake, I've listened to better voice acting for kids better than, you know, than any person, even adults. I mean, hell, Bart Simpson is being voice acted by, you know, a 30, 40-year-old woman, for Christ's sake. I mean, even she can do better than these kids. I mean, they were so bloody retarded. The script was also poorly written for these two characters. It's like, most of the time, you would actually hear what the other character just heard. It's like, you know, it was like, Jesus Christ, I mean, oh dear, it's like, what was it? It was like, when the owls talking about what, you know, the dream world and whatever, and say, the, you know, Helen, especially Helen, would always repeat what he just said, you know, or what Knight said. And it's just totally annoying. And it's like, that's poor, you know, script work there. It was absolutely terrible, you know. I totally hated Helen. Helen was absolutely bad. Will, on the other hand, yeah, he was okay, but he was still retarded. The pair of them were just sounded totally retarded. I'm sorry, they just did. It was just terrible. I don't know who did the voice, I don't know who hired those people, I don't know if they're part of 4Kids, but I swear to God, if I ever find them, I'm going to slap them around and say, get some voice acting lessons for Christ's sake, and get a better role, because it's just terrible. That was just a poor excuse for an acting job. Simple. The only thing I did like about Knight's Journey of Dreams was the music. The music is fantastic. I mean, the music was just absolutely fine. It was just fantastic. You know, also people were talking about Riella's voice, which I thought Riella was a female voice, but apparently it's a male's voice. Male character, again, it's actually more heavy on the male section. But still, he's, you know, like a lot of people saying he's like, you know, he was gay and stuff like that. I actually thought Riella actually had an okay voice. I mean, it wasn't fantastic. He had like a loyal voice, like he was talking to the other, the main villain in the game, Wise Man. It's like when he was talking to him with such loyal kind of like way to it. It was fine. It was pretty cool. It was pretty good. But it's like, yes, master. And you know, it was very good. But no, it was just bad. It was just, you know, it, still overall the voice acting was just terrible. I just hated it. And it's you know, it's like Knights. It didn't kill Knights as a character. Overall, as long as Knights didn't constantly talk through the whole game, it was fine. And as long as I wasn't being notified by every single little bit by the characters every time, it was like, you know, constantly talking within the levels, like in Sonic Heroes. Sonic Heroes, I hated Sonic Heroes for doing that. Sonic Heroes, you couldn't go through a level without any one of the fucking characters talking to you. It's just fucking annoying. Whilst Knights, you don't get that problem. You get, like, one-liners. You only get, like, a word. Nothing more. That was fine. But for Sonic Heroes, I was just getting pissed off by the amount of dialogue that was in that blasted game. Which was not needed. But anyway, back onto Knight's Journey of Dreams. The music is fantastic. A little hint. When you A-rank every mission... Now that, and also here's another thing. It's like that's also another problem with this game, is that it repeats itself. It constantly repeats itself. It's like when you go into a chase mission, which is the first mission that you go into every level. You do the three sections and you get an overall ranking of it. Then after that, you have to go up against a boss, right? Okay, that's fine. But then when you have to go through the entire level and unlock all the rest of the missions, you have to go up against the same boss, but it's much harder. And it's like, what the hell? Honestly, you do not need to do that. One boss battle is fine enough, not two. Not two in the same fucking level. If you wanted to, you know, add a little more to it, you know, it's like, just have the boss It's like, just have, like, the chase scene, and then it's, like, the boss battle, and that's it. You don't have to do the boss battle again, you know, which is just annoying. Plus, that's also another thing. Once you, if you kind of, like, F up at the chase boss battle, like, you know, once you've done the chase bit, the chasing bit, and then go into the boss battle, and you F up there, you have to restart from the entire beginning of that chase level and start all over again, which is even more annoying. Neo Metal Sonic was also correct on that, and it's like, Journey of Dreams' worst boss is the chameleon guy. He was a bastard. I mean, it's like, especially the second time through, I mean, he was so annoying. It's like, you had to constantly do power loops everywhere just to find where the fuck he went. And even then, he's actually cloaked himself. So sometimes you hardly see him due to the bad screen. It's like, because the whole level is wobbling as well, so you don't actually see him, which is just absolutely terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But anyway, some of the boss battles were cleverly designed, including that clown guy. You know, that was cool, because that was something from the previous night's game, which I can remember rightfully because I've seen footage of the first night's game, Nights into Dreams, ages ago. But anyway, overall, it's like, that's just terrible. Like I said before, it was too short. Yes, it's gotten multiplayer mode, which I haven't actually gotten point to yet. Being that every time I try to go into a public match, it just doesn't work. So I don't know why. Maybe it's the other person's problem. I tried to go into two matches. I tried to start two matches, and the other guy just fucked off. So I was getting pissed off at that. So that's one thing that I didn't like. So I haven't fully tested the multiplayer side of it. In terms of completing the single player modes, I completed it in a week. It was just bad. Being that, it's like, each character has four levels, three specific levels for each character, and then one main level, one kind of like, level that, both of them get to play. Which was kind of sad, because that was just too short, very, very, very short. Being that there's five idiots, and you already hold one of them, which is kind of bad. It's like, you get to start off with an idiot, which is fine, but, you know, it's like, you have to find the other idiot, like, there's one. It's like more idiots in certain other things. I think what they should have done was have the last idiot in another level, and then have the final boss, final level, you know, at the very end. You know, that would have made it a little bit longer. But no, they had the final idiot when you completed both the children's original dream, games. And then you have to do it again. That's also another thing. You have to go through the last level twice to get each kid's idea. Yellow idea of hope, or whatever the fuck it's called. But anyway, that's also another thing I hated was the kind of like, every time they got an idea, they would just talk retardedly about who they are and whatnot. It's just and it just pissed me off. It's like, I was just pissing myself laughing at some of the things that they said, and also getting pissed off of some of the things that they're, you know, so retardedly saying, you know. It's just terrible. But anyway, one good kind of factor to it is that once you A-ranked everything, which is not very hard to do, it takes a little practice with the GameCube controller, of course, and, you know, you've played it, you know, it's fine. You know, it's like, you completed it, A-ranked it, and what you get as your reward? What you get as your reward, it is the soundtrack, the full soundtrack of the original game, which is Night's Journey, Nights into Dreams, which is not bad. I mean, it's pretty cool. Almost. I mean, it's cool if it's a kid playing it and they finally and they see it and it's like Nights into Dreams original soundtrack has been unlocked and it's like, ooh, there was another one. I wonder what this is. So yeah, that's cool enough. But the other secret thing, being out of the dream drops, which is kind of like these water droplets that are scattered within each levels, and are very cleverly marked and hidden in for each level and each whatever. All you get is a skin change of your character, depending on which character you play. As for Helen, you get to play as the girl character from the original Knights, and as Will, you get to play as the boy character from the original Knight as well. I can't remember their names. I can't remember, you know, off the top of their head, off the top of my head, but you get to play as the original kids. So basically, Clarice and Elliot, that's them. Sorry, it's like, obviously, you know, Helen turns into Clarice and Will turns into Elliot. Basically, when you get out that secret, basically, this is the reason why Sega aren't releasing Knight's Journey of Dreams onto the PS2 over here in the UK, or in the US for that matter. It's because you've got two games in one, technically. Technically. Even though if you change your characters and you go into a level and you can actually start from an event, you don't actually get to see Clarice or Elliot in those cutscenes, sadly. You know. You get to see Helen as Helen and Will as Will. And it's kind of sucky. Because I would have loved to actually hear the dialogue being talked through the bodies of Clarice and Elliot, but it doesn't work that way, so fine, whatever. Give us a half-assed system, you know, or a worthless extra as such, because that's what it was. It's like getting 60 drops between the two characters and unlocking these two these other two characters was just absolutely terrible. Anyway, so in overall, it's an okay game, but I would not spend 40 quid for this game. I would wait until the game dropped in price, because if it was 30 quid and you were trading in some games, it would be worth it. If you were trading in very games that you would never play before or whatever, you know, it's cool. I mean, there's also various other extras in Journey of Dreams, including, like, you know, CG cinema virtual memory things, which you get when you A-rank everything, I think. No. When you get at least a C-rank on both... at least get a C-rank on all the missions between both characters and complete the final mission again, you get the virtual memories, which is the CG cutscenes, sadly. Not the in-game cutscenes, which kind of balls. Again, they revert to only playing the CG cutscenes rather than the in-game cutscenes, which actually have more story to it. That way, you can actually watch the entire story through the virtual memory thing, but they don't do that, which is just fucked up. I don't know who Jackal was, but he probably was a nasty boss. But anyway, so anyway, various other things like the sound library I've already talked about, and also the concept art, which is kind of which is a nice addition as well. Once you've completed the game with both Helen and Will, and you've gotten at least C ranks and whatnot, and once you've got A ranks, you get all this other stuff as well. It's like okay extras, but overall, like I said, 40 quid does not give you the right satisfaction for getting this game. I would wait until this game becomes a budget title as such, being that of, like, you know, 30 quid or, you know, 25 quid or something like that, or even a pre-owned version if you can find one, if someone can trade it in. I'm not going to trade... In all decency, I'm not actually going to trade it in. I'm going to keep it. I mean, basically, Knight's Journey of Dreams was kind of like Sonic Rush Adventure. I completed it in a good amount. I mean, with Sonic Rush Adventure, you don't get anything extra when you S-rank every single thing. Not to I know of, anyway. But it wasn't worth the pain and suffering to try to get a fucking S rank in that fucking thing. You know, with the mission mode, obviously it was worth it for the mission mode. I mean, the mission mode, 99 missions with the in that game was sufficient. I mean, it was sufficient enough. In fact, actually, Knight's Journey of Dreams was rumored to actually have like 100 missions or something stupid like that. But no, it turned out to only be 36 missions, and most of the time you would actually replay the missions to get all that stuff, which is kind of ridiculous. That was just absolutely terrible in Sega's part, that they only watered it down to 36 missions altogether. That's like 13 mission. No, it wasn't 36 missions. It was 16 missions each, so it was 32. I think, yeah, 32 missions altogether, and it was because it was 16 missions each, and it's like three levels of 5 missions and one final level with one mission, you know, which was just a chase mission and a final boss at the end after that chase mission, which was just sucks. It just sucks balls. So yeah. It's like I said, it's not worth the 30 quid. It's like, get it at a budget, get it at a budget title. It's okay as a budget title. Hell, if it goes a deal of the week, get it as a deal of the week, like 20 quid. If it's 20 quid, go get it, you know. But if it's, if it's anything else, you know, just don't get it for anything higher than 20 quid or higher than 25 quid. That's the highest you can probably go for that game. 25 quid, you know. Okay. So overall impression, buy it at a cheap price. That's all I can say. Because it's not worth the 40 quid of Sega's well-earned, you know, time and effort into making a sequel 11 years in the making. And, give them all that money just for the praise of saying, well done, you've just made a sequel of a franchise that was decently good. But in reality, well done, Sega, for butchering another franchise and destroying the memories of our childhood yet again. That's pretty much it. So anyway, that's me on Turbo's First Impressions. That's it. Right, we gotta go into your requests now. Running short on time. Being that I've been here for ages, and a lot of people have requested a lot of songs, so I better get on with it. Resident SD saying, I would never pay 40 quid for a Wii game, except for Mario Galaxy, which wasn't 40 quid, it was actually 35 quid. Thrungus would have sent me sent me one for free, but apparently, you know, Sega were just very slow. So anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, I bought my copy, I carved my own tombstone, so yeah. Anyway. Alright. So anyway, a lot of people were also talking about the reviews for Sonic Riders Zero Gravity. I don't care about the reviews about Sonic Riders Zero Gravity. I think it'll look good when it comes out. I hope it'll be good. I think anyway. But anyway. So it's already out in America, but it's not released over here in the UK until February. So, fuck you. I said, remember, people, I'm from the UK. I'm from the good old bonny Scotland, or sleepy Scotland just now, because I have to keep my voice down because there's lots of occupants in my house tonight. So obviously I've been shouting a lot tonight. So. Yeah, that's definitely gonna keep them up, and they're gonna bitch at me tomorrow morning. So yeah. Anyway. Right. Now, to start off with the requests, here's another song on the True Blue album that's also gonna be in the up-and-coming Super Smash Brothers Brawl game that's hopefully gonna be coming out in the UK sometime. I don't know when the official releases, but in the States it's gonna be March. Japan's gonna be getting it in roughly 5 days, so good up on Japan, because once it's released over there, lots of people from Japan are gonna post YouTube videos all over the place, and it's gonna be totally ruined and whatnot. So yep, that's cool. So yeah, here is the Angel Iron Zone Super Smash Brothers Brawl remix done by Jun Sunon. So enjoy this, and here are all your requests coming up after the song, and enjoy them, because I'm going to chill out. Yep, chill out to these cool songs. We'll be right back. just to let you know, people, apparently Sonny said, yeah, it's Brawl's coming out in 2 days in Japan. No, in fact, I did actually check. It's on the Super Smash Brothers website, that or smashbrothers.com. If you go into the Japanese version of the site, it actually says the date 2008, the 31st. That is the Thursday, which is 5 days away. I was right. Sorry, Sonny, but I had to point that out. Anyway, here's Rolling Stones with Paint It Black. Yeah, just thought I would put that in, just to freak you people out, because a lot of shit's going on in the IRC chat room right now, and that was Race to Win from Sonic Rivals 2, which was the only theme song I actually even knew, until I actually found it on the True Blue album, and apparently it's done by Tony Harnell, who is absolutely bad. You know, he's the most gayest person in the world, I think. That, and besides Charles Martinet as well. He's gay as well, supposedly. I mean, he lives in a pink house, for fuck's sake. I mean, Charles Martinet, for fuck's sake, honestly. But anyway, yeah, Sonic Rivals, I don't even own a PSP, so really, I don't give a fuck. Really, I don't give a fuck about Sonic Rivals. Don't give a shit. Tried to play it during my lunch break at one point, but I couldn't play it due to the fact that it was loading so fucking long on the old PSP, so that's why I didn't want to buy it, because it was just too fucking long. Even worse than the Sonic, the loading times of Sonic the Hedgehog on Xbox 360. Anyway. Anyway, but there is your ultimate cheese. There. A lot of people... Now, the thing that's going on in the IRC chat room right now is that Kogan is being an absolute asshole and has dug a very, very deep hole in the whole kind of like racial kind of like... notification thing, and also like deteriorating that the fact that you know, people that are born in England are English and blah 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 and whatnot. And basically, this is the point here: it's like if you're born in a country, you know, that is your country of origin. That is where you come from. Me, I was born in the UK. Whereas other people think, because I sound Americanish. You know, it got like an American accent. I come from America, and I am from America. No. Where I'm born is where I'm from, and that is my nationality. That's the main thing. If I'm born in Scotland, and I'm raised in Scotland, then I am Scottish. You know, simple, very simple. You know, and if anyone was born in England, then they're English. You know, if they're raised in England, they're English. You know, born and raised, English. It's simple. But for some reason, Kogan just doesn't have the balls to actually, you know, accept that fact. And, you know, it's just like a lot of people kind of like, you know, you know, just like totally have that problem. It's just completely weird. Anti-Porcupine says that I do not sound American, which is a first for quite a while, actually. And it's like a lot of people always say that I talk Americanish or Canadianish or some way. But no, when you do find out that I do actually speak Scottish, because I use a lot of Scottish slang words. I mean, just a couple of nights ago, I was actually celebrating Burns Night with haggis. You know, it's a good old haggis and tatties, you know. It's like, yum. Tonight I had, you know, scampi supper, which was fan-bloody-tastic. But anyway, and a corn on the cob. But anyway, enough about me and things. I think, personally, myself, I think Kogan is just, you know, he's crossed over the line between influential jokes, you know, which he thinks sounds funny, to the whole point of like, he tries to make a joke out of racism. I mean, he was just having a very bad joking situation with Violet there, and Violet can only take so much of, you know, prodding, you know. It's like being prod on the arm by someone's finger. It's like, you know, poke, 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 you know. Eventually, it gets annoying. And then suddenly it comes out in a big backlash. So basically, Kogan has gotten to the point where he's actually got get a physical backlash on what he's actually doing. And that's already happened. So, you know, that's just absolutely fantastic for Kogan to be an absolute asshole and, you know, be a complete tit to everyone else. And not go into the fact that he has no balls to actually, you know, say he's sorry. I mean, if I was making jokes and whatnot, and eventually someone was getting offended, I would actually forgive myself and actually say sorry to the people who have actually hurt. No, not Kogan. Kogan doesn't have a heart. Kogan doesn't have any balls to actually, you know, be a man and actually apologize for all the wrongs that he's actually done. You know, I mean, dear God, I mean, Jesus Christ. It's like, he can't even say sorry for the even little thing, probably. And it's like, if he, you know, stole a cookie or anything, like, if he stole a cookie and he ate it and wasn't sorry about that, he has no regrets, you know. That's the kind of like, you know, persona a person can actually put, is have it, a person that has no regrets. But anyway. Sunny's brought up a good point. She doesn't know what haggis is. Well, it's spelt with two G's, which is good. And try Wikipedia. And it's like, there was like an old saying of the, you know, old thing of haggis being sheep's stomach with the kind of like stuff, you know, meat and stuff what inside a sheep's stomach and it's boiled, you know, and whatnot. But no. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that at all. It's actually basically wheat and oats and basically all that. It's only like wheat and oats and a kind of like a little spice to it as well. It does have like a spicy flavor to it, and it's also very, very filling as well. So once you've had half of it, it's pretty filling, I can tell you that. But it is very delicious. You know, it's very delicious. But Benoy, it's like. It's just one of those things about us Scottish people that totally make other people go ooh, you know. It's just absolutely weird. Right. Thrungus and his haggis mornings. I said, oh yeah, Kogan's actually just saying, I don't spam here. I don't think I've ever expect for a joke people would be aware of. And he's like, fuck off. Yeah, and it's like, Kogan, we're not saying that you're actually spamming. It's just you're saying a lot of shit. That's not spamming. You're just saying a lot of shit. That's all we're saying. Golden Wonder's actually correct. And he said that and kilts. It's like everyone thinks and said kilts is a skirt. Any person who actually comes up to me and says, "Oh, that's a skirt," I'll punch him in the fucking nuts, you know, and say, and it's like, "Yeah, try say that again," and I'll, you know, kick even harder, you know, or whatever, because you know people have to get the point, you know, across that. Kilts are specifically designed. There's even a proper design kilt. I've forgotten the full-on technical name for it, but it's, you know, a kilt was derived from another, you know, kind of like design of Scottish wearing, you know, which had like a big sash across the chest and behind the back and connected to there, which is much more traditional Scottish wear. The kilt was actually made by the Queen of England. It's like for the Scottish people, but it's the most well-known kind of like dress, of course. Yeah. Yeah, Thrungus is saying of, I killed 16 people with my bare hands and a Dreamcast controller. It is actually very impressive, and that actually happened. Yep. With me and my Dreamcast controller, the deadliest weapon in my arsenal. Yes. Right. I am the man, I am the myth, I am the legend, that is Turbo. Oh yeah, and here's another thing before I finish off the show. I know I'm going over my limit, but I need to get this over and done with. I would actually like to say that there is a faker of me, of Turbo the Hedgehog, the character that I use on SSMB and pretty much across the entire internet. There's a faker on YouTube who calls himself Turbo the Hedgehog, but now is calling himself Turbo the Hedgehog 2 because he deleted his original account and says he's the real Turbo. And guess where he's from? He's from the States. That's the first notification that he does not know the original origins of Turbo the Hedgehog. As you, most of you listeners know, if you're a regular listener to the show and to SSM, and you're, you know, always on SSMB and a lot as well, Turbo the Hedgehog was originally created in STC comic 161, I believe, in the story The Space Race. Turbo the Hedgehog was a alien hedgehog from another dimension that Sonic had to go up against in order to, you know, save Amy. And then Sonic lost, Turbo won, and Turbo won the space race, and eventually they go onto the enemy ship that was going to blow the other ship up, and Sonic stopped them, so did Turbo, and, you know, the story was like a two-parter. And Turbo then, you know, disappeared from the entire Sonic universe from that point on. Now, I took that character from the ashes of Sonic the Comic, the Fleetway series, and I took it back from that, you know, pile of, ashed comics. And I took that character, I made him my own, and I recreated him into this new day and age of Sonic fandom and whatnot that people don't even know about STC. And I used Turbo the Hedgehog as a symbol of what Sonic the comic series was all about. And I use his iconic character. And so he's not that well known, but he is an iconic character in the Sonic universe, and in fact one of very few characters that have, you know, ever lasted in the Sonic universe. In fact, has not been notified as the I think it was like the third hedgehog in the series or fourth hedgehog in the entire universe of Sonic the Hedgehog. But anyway, also, Violet was saying, yes, T-Bird, Adam, has the entire collection. Yes, he got the entire collection of the STC Fleetway series, and I applaud him for that because he spent a hell of a lot of money getting all those issues. He is one lucky son of a bitch. And fair dues to him because I don't have that kind of money myself. So anyway, if this Sonic the Hedgehog, if this Turbo the Hedgehog, who's only like 19 years old and very inexperienced in the series and, has no knowledge of who Turbo the Hedgehog is, go yank your cock up your ass and leave me the fuck alone, and I am the original Turbo, not you. Up yourself. Simple as that. So that's my final 2 cents there. If you ever find Turbo the Hedgehog 2, be sure that that is not the original Turbo the Hedgehog. If you look under Turbo XLR, that is my YouTube channel as such. Basically, that's me, and I'm the real Turbo the Hedgehog. Even though I couldn't actually use Turbo the Hedgehog in, you know, full extent, but, you know, basically, you know, it just, like, totally is different. I know certain, obviously other people are going like, yeah, I'm 19, you said, age means nothing. Age means little in this place. And I said, well, sometimes it does. I say, I've met, several kind of like, elderly teenagers, as such, I'm gonna call them, like 17, 18, 19 year olds, who say they know everything, but they don't, you know. But anyway. So anyway, doesn't matter. I think I've actually put that rant in the wrong way. So forget what I said, okay? Forget about the age thing, okay? Forget about the age thing, but focus on the point that people don't know what they're talking about. That's the main thing. It's like people using a name that they think they've created originally themselves and call themselves Turbo the Hedgehog or whatever, but no, fuck all, then there you go. So anyway, I'm going to bid you adieu. I'm like 7 minutes across my time, and apparently my FM stream is going 1 minute before my AM stream, which is fucked up, so it's terribly fucked up. So anyway, never mind. This is Turbo again. Thanks very much for listening to the last listeners who are here, which are about, like, you know, 26 people. So thanks very much for listening. I'm gonna play one last track for you, which of course has to be from the Orange Box. I have to play this because you know, it's necessary. But anyway, thanks very much for listening. Thanks everyone from the IRC chatroom for listening in and debating with me today as well, or tonight, or whatever. That is Chris, Ellison, K, Violet, Anti-Porcupine, Backtrack, Casper the Friendly Ghost, D'Artagnan, Jobblesoft, Golden Wonder, Hawks Who's Away Just Now, Inigo, another new person, JJF, Kaz, Colgan, Logo Kaz, Miles Prower, MK, Neo Metal Sonic, Rila, who may be gone, Regal, Ritz, Resident SD, Rolkin, Psy, Sky Shark, Spiky Sharky, Strong Bad, Sunny, and Throngus, who's playing Paradise City. You bastard. Oh yes, and of course Forever Sonic, who's not in the room just now, but actually has mentioned me in Skype. So yeah, whatever. So yeah, thanks very much for listening. Here is, of course, Still Alive from the Orange Box, or mainly Portal, the end song from Portal. So apparently a lot of people says please don't play Still Alive. Actually, I actually have two versions of Still Alive. I've got the Still Alive done performed by GLaDOS, and the Still Alive version done by Jonathan Coulton. I don't know which one to play, and I have listened to them both. So you know, it's kind of, I don't know which one to play, either the JC mix or the original. Oh, apparently people want to hear the alternate version. So okay then, I'm gonna play the alternate version, which is the JC mix, performed by Jonathan Coulton, who actually did the music. So Skyshark, you're gonna Skyshark, you're gonna get booted out in a minute. Alright, okay then. Alright, I'm gonna play this. I'm gonna end this quickly before, you know, lose it. So, I'm way over time. So, thanks very much for. I better finish off the by saying which shows you need to look out for this week. If you look in the program's schedule on Sonic's Radio website, Sega Sonic Radio's website, which is radio.sonicstadium.org /schedule, you can see that you've got the Sonic Hour on the Sunday. Then you've got Speednux Pie on the Monday at 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. The Raccoon Zone, which did a triumphant return last week on Wednesday at 8 p.m. And the Tiger's Eye, which apparently Rory forgot all about this past Friday, which is kind of sucky because I was there and I was waiting and he didn't show up and I was like a total piece of shit. Now, of course, you're kind of thinking, well, where's Dark Noises? Because he's always advertising on SSMB. Well, apparently he doesn't actually advertise in the actual live cast schedule. If he doesn't get his act together, he might be thrown off. I'm not saying that because I'm not the head of SSR, Rory is. Just a little notification that, you know, Dark Noise needs to get his priorities straight. And he said, and also, I bet him to the punch when playing those, True Blue exclusive tracks. Yes. Yeah, so, I'm in the good. Well, the only track I haven't played was the New Venture Surfing Mix, but that's pointless. But anyway, that's me. I'm going, here's Still Alive, the JC mix, which you probably won't like, but, you know, you won't like it. It's just not right. But anyway, here it is. Enjoy the song. Thanks very much. See you next week. Same time, same place, only in Sega Sonic Radio, Turbo Drive Live. Hurrah! Good night!
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive.
I did say it was gonna be very cheesy, didn't I?
I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. Even though you broke my heart and killed me and tore me to pieces and threw every piece into a fire. As they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you. Now these points of data make a beautiful line, and we're out of beta, we're releasing on time. So I'm glad I got burned. Think of all the things we learned for the people who are still alive. Go ahead and leave me. I think I'd prefer to stay inside. Maybe you'll find someone else to help you. Maybe Black Mesa. That was a joke. Ha ha, fat chance. Anyway, this great. It's so delicious and moist. Look at me still talking when there's science to do. When I look out there, it makes me glad I'm not you. I've experiments to run. There is research to be done. All the people who are still alive. And believe me, I am still alive. I'm doing science and I'm still alive. I feel fantastic and I'm still alive. And while you're dying, I'll be still alive. And when you're dead, I will be still alive. Still alive. Still alive.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for more Turbo Drive Live, only on Sega Sonic Radio, the number one source for Sonic music. See you later!